let's say it takes 2 years to, we're just side B, same thing. 2 years to do, let's say get the basics done. Would you be a working blacksmith after 2 years, more or less? Or I know that doesn't make in every situation, but.
I'd say after 2 years, a fellow could maybe start making a living. If he was gutsy, I think he should go ahead and do it. And if he feels confident in himself, yes, go on and do it. Because your next skills develop, the only way to develop the skills is to use them. And if you can sell a job for a gate after being there 2 years, then you'll figure out, or that person would figure out how to make that gate some way or another. It may not be the finest gate you ever makes. But there's no reason to stop and say, well, I've only done it for a couple of years, then I shouldn't try this job. I've learned more since I've left my teacher. And every job, we have a new situation, as you said, and we try and work it out the most efficient way of doing the piece, and best way of doing the piece without. We try not to compromise either the material, the design, or our personal feelings inside how we feel the final product should be put together. But there's always a compromise a little bit in there. We get back to the benches. At the end of the benches, we'll feel at the end of the benches that next set we can do better.
Yeah.
And we plan to do better, but that's not going to stop us from doing this first dog. So I'd say yes, if a fellow is gutsy, go ahead and do it. If he can do it after 6 months or 6 weeks, if he feels that he can sell a job, jump right in. Don't wait around and don't listen to the guy who says, oh, you're not ready.
Well, now you had sent to me before we ever turned the machine on, and we were just talking in general, and you were saying we were talking about something completely different, and it's going to be out of context, but you were sort of thinking about what would happen to your tools in the future. Now, of course, you're a single guy, and you can meet the right girl and have 57 kids, and all 8 of them would be blacksmiths, and you'd have nothing to worry about. But in what sense are you worried about that? I mean, you know,
well, so that I wouldn't want them to go to somebody who would just have them because they have them. I'd like to
come up on a suburbanite wall, right?
Yes. I can't. In fact, it bothers me so very much to see people who've had tools and they're hanging on the wall, when I know there's so many enough young people, not so extremely much that they're a dime a dozen, but there's enough young smiths and young people around who want to find tools, and if they had one or two pairs of tongs and a hammer and a nickel's worth of encouragement, they'd be working. But here's, when you run across an anvil sitting on somebody's hearth, and in my own head I have at least 5 or 6 people who'd love to have an anvil. I would, it upsets me that one's sitting there foul and is not being used.
Now, somebody in the future is not going to like me for doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's helping the press. You know, did you know that there's a folk, that there's an apprentice program here in the state where if there's a young guy who wants to learn how to do any kind of traditional trade, that he can apply for grant money to at least start off?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, well, we're going to give you the brochure before we go away. I don't know if I gave the other one away to somebody else. I think the latest one, 85 and 86, probably 84 and 85, that's right, sequence of years. So you can see, because what they've got is that it's, it comes out of the White Springs thing. It explains it in there. And there's a guy in Tarpon Springs, you know, background is Greek, and the guy's grandfather was a sponge diving helmet maker. And so they got money to teach what how to make sponge. He's a boy, he's younger than I am, so he's a kid, so I'm there, but he's in his late 20s, and he's making the helmets, and now, you know, because there's not that much sponge divers, he's making them for bridge work, when they go underneath water to work on bridges. So he got to keep it alive. And
from Tarpon Springs, myself and Ray up in Tampa, we bent the crankshaft for an air compressor that was made by an old Greek fellow, Greek machinist, probably in his 80s or so, for an old compressor that is no longer in business in no longer made anymore. So he made the crankshaft, or was making a crankshaft, but we offset the bales of fire so we could make the crank. And he finished the job. He had it, brought it to us at the bin because he had no way of offsetting it. So it's a pretty interesting piece. It's kind of good.
Big circle.
Yeah, when all else fails, go to the blacksmith. And we do that here too. When no one else can help you, then we'll take on a job that then if you just do it or tubing or whatever, repair something that no one else will fool with, even though it's not what we're interested in.
Yeah.
I may not be too interested in fixing someone's floor down, but if you come to me with it.
Yeah, and just a regular person.
We've been everywhere, and, you know, just come off the street and say, they said you can maybe fix this. If we can and not have time, we'll fix it. And we don't solicit those jobs.
Yeah.
But it all else fails, go to the blacksmith.
Well, now this man that just walked in here again, what is his name?
Walt Billings.
Walt Billings?
Billings.
Walt Billings. Now, how many other people like Walt work with you?
Or are just they? Walt. Walt has started working with me a few hours a week since October. So, and Walt's background is in sculpture. And he's here in town. And we've known each other a few years. And I've gotten to the point I have enough work that I need help. And pieces are getting bigger that I can't physically handle all the pieces by myself. And if I have to go out and bid a job or look over a job site, then I have been closing the doors and other work I've done at home. So Walt needed a studio space to do a little bit of work, and he didn't want to retire and sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's an advice I give to anybody in Florida. Hire the elder. hire somebody who has years of experience. Because I choose Walt very quickly over a young man. Because he came in within a week's time, he knows all the tools. He knows where the things are in the shop and how to deal with it. But the main thing, he has had experience is on the tools. And he knows about running the fire. Anything. Now a young man, I'd spend months dealing with him. I'd have to be over his shoulder all the time. Walt, I can leave to work with him. If he's got 600 holes to drill,
just be there, drill away.
You know, he's got his day's work. He drills till he's content. And when he feels that he's had his day's work done, then he goes. And we have an agreement that he works. He and I work as we need work. He's not pressed to hold life and limb together. So he's not always dependent. If I don't have work for him today, then he's not going to go without eating.
Yeah.
But he also, the main thing for me, he has all the skills that helps me out. And he has a background in art and design. So right away, it's a plus.
Well, no, and I, because, you know, just going on.
Yes.
See, I have questions in my head. I can't get them on the show. Well, how would you, I mean, and there may not, this may not be the issue for you, but how would you grow as a blacksmith? Or would you want to? I mean, you know, as you were saying, sometimes the pieces will get bigger. This is the only thing I was thinking about. Because when I was a kid, sometimes my dad would have me help in the shops because he couldn't move things physically around. So I got to the point that even before I ever worked in certain types of articles, that I was at the other end, as it were, you know, catching his stuff or helping them flip things or helping them as he would bend stuff. Simply because after, I mean, I learned how to do that. Because, you know, he showed me, he wrecked some pieces, but then, you know, I got the point. And, I mean, is that of a need? I mean, do you think about that, or is that just if it happens, it's fine? But
if to have someone young and starting in the business,
yeah.
And I'd love to have a 13-year-old, and then in a few years he'd be better than I would, and I'd be real upset because then I'd be jealous of a 13-year-old kid who would be a better smith than I am, and I'd have to do all sorts of tricky stuff to keep him from being. So I think that I would say, keep thinking that I was great and wonderful. That if a fellow could start young enough and in his teens, early teens, when his muscles are
just forming
and being light, and his, it'd be great because that's when you really learn your dexterity. You're no longer dropping as much as a kid. So if you're in your middle teens, it'd be great to start off. But unfortunately, you can't force a kid into this. You can't tell a kid that blacksmithing is going to be a good trade for you to be in, and it's going to be in the future. It's going to be a good trade, and get in it now because it's few people, and it's something that you can learn and love all your life. But you don't tell a kid that because it doesn't work. He has to have that in his own soul. And he has to have a want for what he wants to do. Because otherwise it becomes a burden. I would say anybody who doesn't love the trade, don't stay with it. Don't stick with it because it's many, many hours of hard work, many days.
I used to go every day after school and on weekends. I won't pick up anything.
No.
So it's just something I had to do.
It's something you had to do. And every child that I've seen, unfortunately, who has had that situation, just does not fit into it.
You got coal over there, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know how I know that? Just from smell? That before I started sleeping before the sawdust, and before I got onto the cabinets and stuff, I had to go down and shove a coal in there. That's why I got in this year kind of work. I figured that all I had to do was write more and I'll be better at it.
Well, you know, I'd say a man in his 20s, so if he's got any sense, it would be more. Because I learned it, and it's probably 22 or
so. You feel now, and I'm only thinking about this because I'm not always as athletic as I probably should be. But do you feel now that you're in your 30s that you feel like an aches and pains, or
I'm stronger now than I ever was in my life? I think, yeah, I'll tell you my vital statistics. I'm 5'8". I weigh right now the heaviest I've ever weighed in my life, 148 pounds. That's the heaviest I've weighed. I can lose my own weight several times, but I feel that I'm stronger now than I ever was. And not only physically strength, but mentally stronger. And I also have the capacity to do work longer. So I have more stamina. And I think it's because I'm probably fully mature as a man rather than growing up. Muscles get harder, bones get harder as a person gets older. And that's something a kid doesn't have.
Yeah, that's true about man. My dad can talk about a man strength and a boy strength. And he said, you can always, not only outdo a boy strength, but you've got some kind of service on the same.
It's not a pain. You have a muscle. And you learn to endure the pain of all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, most parts have nothing to do with the speed of life. It's noisy in here, it's very much.
Just wondering about my machine.
Yeah, it may want to back it up in here, but it's just pretty loud.
That's what's going on.